wife just asked me why I was sniffing. I told her because I've been crying. I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be with the saints of God. I know I don't deserve this right, but Christ paid the price that I might be here. He saved my soul and He delivered me. And after He delivered me, He healed my mind, He healed my heart, and He healed my soul. And that's why I'm here. Though I know I don't deserve to be. Talked about a friend this morning. I want to tell you a little story. Since I was a little boy, I've always wanted to have a big brother. Now, I have a big brother, but the years are too far apart, so he was never there for me. I didn't get him to take me fishing and hunting because he was older and he went off with his older friends. And I never had a brother. I always wanted someone to play ball with and someone that would be there when the bullies came by that I could say, hey, don't play with me. This is my big brother. He's going to take care of you if you mess with me. But I didn't have that. And I was meditating some months back on that very thing, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, I'll be your big brother. He said, you get behind me when troubles come. When hard times come, you get behind me. You hide back there. He said, I'll go before you and I'll take care of it. He said, I'll be behind you. I'll be on your left and I'll be on your right. You don't have to worry anymore. Dear ones, we got a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I'm thankful. Well, let's look into the Word of God and see what He has for us today. May the Lord bless you. Pray for me. I stand up here honestly inadequate to bring you the Word of God. But with the Lord's help, see if we can't edify the soul. Turn with me, please, to Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. And begin at the first verse. You know what the Lord has done for me? He softened my heart. And I cry real easy now. Sometimes I think I'm a big baby, but you know, it feels good to cry. Because these tears I cry are tears of joy. Thank the Lord. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. How wonderful is that? That God will be with us. He'll be our big brother. He'll stick closer to us than a friend. He'll go before us. He'll go behind us. He'll be on our left and He'll be on our right. And He'll take us through no matter what comes. He promised us that. Isn't that what these scriptures say? Oh Israel, I've been born again. I'm now part of that Israel. That Mount Zion belongs to me. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of God. And these promises I claim. The Lord will be with me. I finally have found that big brother that I wanted for so long. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Turn with me to Daniel. We're going to read a little bit. I want to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, the Lord gave me this message some time ago, and He said, this is for Oklahoma. I said, okay, Lord. Well, this is the first time I've been back to Oklahoma. And I'm thankful to be here. Some of you I know and some of you I haven't met before, but I'm thankful that you're my brothers and my sisters in Christ. Thank the Lord. Let's start. Let's see Daniel. Where am I at? Third chapter, and we're going to read it all. May this be a blessing to us. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king set to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image of Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the clarinet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the palsy, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." Now, a little history here. This king, this idea came to him by some of his subjects. And I believe the reason why they had him do this is because there was a people, a nation that lived within them, in that province, that found favor in King Nebuchadnezzar's sight. But they knew that through their religious beliefs that they would never bow down to any statue. So they asked Nebuchadnezzar, and they got onto his ego, let's say, and said, "O king, live forever. O king, you need to build this statue, and people need to worship you because you're just like a god. You've taken over the known world and you rule it all, and people need to worship you just like a god." So he got all lifted up and he decided he would do that. That was a good idea. So he set the statue up. Now he called everyone, all his rulers and all the people to come and worship what he had set up. This image of himself. My, oh my. My, oh my. Now we know that through the scriptures that God places men in those kingships. It was God that allowed Nebuchadnezzar to be that king and to be that ruler. And yet he took it to himself rather than give God the glory. So that's what we want to talk about this morning as we read on. May the Lord help us. "And whosoever falleth not down and worship shall that same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of the clarinet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the palsy, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said unto the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the clarinet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, palsy, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews which thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. You know what I've learned in my short lifespan? That the world is no friend of mine. And no matter where I go or what I do, it seems like there's someone out to take advantage of me. And you might find it to be so. Jobs that I have worked on, it seemed like there was people that were jealous of this person or that person. And they would backbite and stab. And there are just things that went on, and it seems like, well, those things ought not be so in the church of God. And I have found the church of God my refuge, a place to come and hide. And when I come amongst the saints, I never expect to be treated like the world treats me. This is where I come to hide. This is where I come to find peace and safety. This is my refuge. It's like a bird crossing over. I used to hunt a lot, and they would set up places of refuge for the animals to go that I couldn't get to them, that I couldn't kill them. And they learn real quickly exactly where they could go and where they would be safe. They're smart. Those animals got smart. Well, dear ones, when the Lord saved me, He got me some smarts too. And I've learned that in the church of God, I can feel safe. It's my place of refuge. This is where I come when I want to hide. This is where I meet the Lord. This is where I get behind Him. Where was I at? I'm on 14 now. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods or worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the clarinet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, palsy, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast that same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Dear ones, the Lord is going to prove every one of us. Every one of us are going to have to go through trials and go through tests. It's God's way of perfecting us. It's God's way of showing what we have within us. What is there that needs to come out? Sister Rich preached on sanctification and preached on those crooked lines, those ruts that have been dug into our soul. God will bring things our way to show us where those ruts lie, how deep they are, and what needs to be done to clear them out. God will bring each and every one of us, that loves Him, that He loves. He's going to bring us all. Doesn't it say He chastened who He loveth? He's going to bring things our way. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were placed in a place where their life, their very life, was in jeopardy. That the king said that if you don't fall down and worship me, I'm going to throw you into this fiery furnace. They could have at any time jumped out of that situation, could they not? Could they have said right there when he said it'd be well with you? Couldn't they say, well, okay then, and we'll just go ahead and we'll bow down. We'll bow down. They could have said that. And you know what they could have said? They could have said, well, we'll do it physically, but we'll never do it mentally. It'll never be in our heart. How many today find themselves in that position? I will not... Lord help us. Dear ones, when God puts us in the midst of a furnace, and I don't know what furnace He's going to put us in, it could be physical sickness. It could be emotional. It could be financial. I don't know what furnace God will put you in to prove you or test you, but are you willing to stay there until you have deliverance? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a choice they had to make. It would be well with them to worship this image as far as their life was concerned. But what would it do with their life with God? Their worship, what they believed in, what they stood for all their life, what they had been taught, the God that had blessed them and promoted them and gave them life itself. What would it do with that situation? What would it do with that communion? What would it do with that relationship that they had with God? How close was they to God? We know that God blessed them. When those children were taken out of their homeland and Nebuchadnezzar brought them back, this king was pretty smart. I want to give him just a little credit for just a moment. He would go into these lands and he would conquer them. And he wouldn't just go in there and randomly just slay everyone. He would just slay until he had got them defeated. When they had surrendered, he would go in and take the very best. He would go in and take their young men and take their young women, those men that had been educated, and those men that knew how to figure, and knew how to engineer, and knew how to build, and knew how to plant. And he would bring them back to where they could teach his people these things, because his people didn't know all those things. And he brought all these people that had all these gifts and all these talents, and he seen something in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that was special. And as they grew in His kingdom, He promoted them because He seen something in them that He could trust, something He knew that He could put in their care and they would be faithful and they would be honest. And that's why they were promoted. God's hand was upon these young men. And the king seen whatever it was that God had given them that made them special. At any time, they could have said, my life means more to me than the God of heaven. And they could have gotten out of that furnace, so to speak. They could have saved their life at any time. But what did they decide to do? Well, let's go on. I want to read 15 again. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the clarinet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, palsy, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast that same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Now how self-exalted was this king to think that he could put his hand upon these children that belonged to God? Did he know? Did he understand? We have found out that this king not only went and searched out the best and brought them back, but he also studied in and he knew what they believed. He knew their religions because he had to deal with it. Those are some of the things he had to deal with to make his kingdom be, so to speak, coordinated. There was many different religions and many different thoughts. And the Hebrew children just had another one. But he knew about it. He knew about it. And yet he said here, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. Can you imagine that? Their life right now was on the line. They had a decision to make. And how did they answer the king? Were they real careful in how they answered him? Not to provoke him? And he was already full of fury and rage. Were they careful to say, oh king, we've listened and we've... No, you know what they did? We are not careful to answer thee in this manner. Now why do you think they had that kind of answer? We are not careful. Dear ones, because I believe they already had it made up in their mind exactly who they were going to serve and who they were going to live for. Live or die. Live or die. Dear ones, you and I, have we got it made up in our mind that we're going to go through with God, live or die? Sister Rich talked about giving it all on the altar. You want to be sanctified? Bring it all up. You got to give it all. Anything you love more than God has to be cast aside. Put it on the altar. Get rid of it. Cast before God and let God take care of it. Are we willing to give up our very life for God? There's been too many times that I've heard of dear ones that have given in because someone told them their life was on the line. This sickness was unto death. This sickness was unto death. Their faith was not strong enough in God and they turned to the arm of flesh. And then come back and say, I've done nothing wrong. It's not a matter of right or wrong. This is your soul that we're talking about. This is your walk with God. I could not judge you because you made a mistake in an hour or a time of weakness. That is not my place as a minister of God. God showed me a few months back, He said, I don't have the right to hurt any of His children. I said, Lord, what do you mean by your children? Are you talking about the saints? And then I read the Word of God. Every man, woman, and child is born in the image of God. They're all His children. Dear ones, the Lord showed me I don't have the right to hurt anyone at any time, at any place. Think about that. Not having the right to hurt. If a brother is overtaken in a fault, restore such as one, considering thyself. I don't say this to hurt or discourage anyone, because my job is to hold up. My job is to encourage. My job is to give out the promises and the Word of God, and they're rich and they're full and they're complete, and they'll take us to heaven. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a choice, a decision to make. Are our lives so dear to us? We're young. Our whole life is ahead of us. Our whole life is ahead of us. We want to get married, and we want to have children. We want to have jobs, and we want to prosper, and we want to have homes. Do you think those thoughts might have crossed their mind? They might have already been married and had children. I don't know. Look at it from the other way. Oh, I've got a wife and I've got children. I can't die. I want to see my grandkids. I've got to help raise my children. I've got work to do. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Not careful. We've made it up in our mind which way we're going to go. We've been taught what's right, and we will not bow down to this image. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to meditate upon it. It's not, well, give me a couple days and I'll come back with an answer. Their answer was ready at that moment. They knew they had made that decision. The choice was already done. We are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. They knew it without a shadow of a doubt. This life belongs to God. What right do we have to tell Him what He can or can't do with it? If this king is going to throw them into the furnace and all they've got to do is bow down and worship Him and that fire go away, but they'd lose God. When those young people told me they did nothing wrong, my heart was broken. Not because they had made a mistake, but because they couldn't see the mistake that they had made. You make a mistake and you get out of the furnace too quickly, just go to God with it. Let God bless you and let God forgive you and let God give you the faith that you didn't have. The strength that you need that you found out was not there. Dear ones, that's why God brings these things. Sometimes we think that we can stand, but we can't stand because we're not strong enough to stand. God sees it, God knows it, and He'll bring a trial your way to let you be in that place where you can see it too. So what do? Do we jump out of the trial? Lord, help us. When Ananias and Sapphira had the land and they sold it and they brought the money and they laid it at the apostles' feet, wasn't it theirs to give or not give? Why did they have to lie? Dear ones, be careful not to lie. It's God, it's the Holy Ghost that they lied to. And when we look upon these things and we've made a mistake and we've fallen short, it's the Holy Ghost we lied to first. And if we'll find ourselves lying to God, we'll turn around and we'll lie to His people. We'll lie to His friends. We'll lie to our families. We'll lie to those that love us the most and want the best for us. It's not a matter of right and wrong. It's a matter of your soul being in jeopardy. God wants to lift you out and bless you and forgive you and put you in a better place. We don't condemn anybody for making a mistake. We don't condemn anybody for falling. There's no shame in it. There's shame in it. There's guilt and there's shame, but there's deliverance. The real shame is when you won't admit it. The real shame is when you won't seek out the help that you need to be in the place that you want to be. Shadrach and Meshach sought no place to hide. They were willing before the king to answer him and not be careful. And tell the king, O king, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. Didn't He say, who is able to deliver you out of my hands? And they just flat told Him, our God whom we serve will deliver us out of your hand. Because our God is greater than you. But if not, how about this now? Is there doubt here? I don't think there's any doubt at all. They just weren't sure what the Lord's will was. But they were willing to trust Him. They were willing to trust Him to go into this furnace and their lives be taken from them. But they knew, their faith took it in, that God could deliver them out of that heated furnace. God could deliver them out of the hand of the king. But they said, but if not, the Lord's will be done. You know, Christ, didn't He pray a prayer? Not my will, but thine be done. Oh, He didn't want to go through death. He agonized over it and he cried and he sweat as if big drops of blood flow down from his forehead. This was a hard thing for any man to endure. No man has endured what He endured. He took on the sins of the world. There was a weight there that us mortal men could never carry. We can't hardly carry the sins of our own. They're so heavy, and I'm thankful I'm a whole lot lighter now. Thank the Lord for salvation. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They had it made up in their mind. It was final. There was no turning back. There was no wavering from the left or the right. They knew exactly what they had to do. They had made up their mind, and this was their answer. And they were not careful to answer the king in this manner. We will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The very way he looked on these young men. Now let's go back. These are the young men that he's seen something special in, and he promoted them in the land of Babylon. They were rulers in his land. They were princes in his land. He trusted them. He gave them great charge, and he knew that they would do a good job. And to this point, they had never failed him. They had never let him down. But he was so angry and so full of fury that the very way he looked upon them had totally changed. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wrought to be heated. Now I work with heat. I'm a millwright, and I'm a certified welder, and I work with heat, and I know what heat can do to things. I know what heat can do to steel. I can take metal, and I can put heat on one side, and I can bend it like a horseshoe just with heat. I can cool it down fast and shrink it down so it stays that way. Then I can stretch the other side and make it go more. Heat does terrible things to elements. Now, this oven was probably made of brick or clay, a refractory, so to speak. And the king was so enraged and so full of fury that he told them to heat it 7 times hotter than it was made to be heated. Now, we just learned what happens when levees are not built to take a level 4 hurricane. An entire city was wiped out. Those levees were only made to withstand a level 3. I hope when they rebuild that, they do a better job this time. May the Lord help. But this oven was only made to be heated to a certain amount. And those people that took care of it, that built it, knew that. But the king in his fury told them to heat it 7 times more than it was made to be heated. Now, if this was made of rock, or this was made of a concrete-type mixture, you put heat on it, it explodes. You take a torch. I have a torch at work, and the tip of my torch is 6,300 degrees. And sometimes I have to go and I have to cut bolts off right at the concrete level so people don't walk and trip and fall on them. And I'll put that torch down and I know I'm going to get burned if I'm not careful. I back as far as I can, took that torch away from me and blow it away. And that concrete, as soon as that torch hits it, it explodes. It explodes. I had one time one of those little pieces of concrete come back and lit on my back and burnt right through my coveralls, my shirt, went right into my skin. That's how hot it is. That's what heat can do. Heat. Heat is a terrible thing. But he heated it up 7 times more than it was supposed to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. The very best men he had. Those men that were in his army, once again, that he could trust. Men that were not afraid to give their life for the king. He commanded those very best men to take Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, bind them up and throw them in the furnace. Dear ones, this king was so full of fury against the children of God that he was willing to sacrifice not just the furnace, but sacrifice the men that he had the most trust in. Those men that would obey him even unto death. Then these men were bound in their coats and in their hosen and in their hats and in their other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Why do you think they put all these clothes on them? The hat and the hosen and the coats and all these things. Because he wanted to make sure they lit up right away. You know, the human body, when it gets into heat, it has to begin to melt first before it will burn. And as it begins to melt, be turned to liquid, and the fat begins to flow, then it begins to flame. But if you put these clothes on them, those clothes will flame right up. That heat will be there quicker and more severe. He wanted to make sure that these men suffered at his revenge. He wanted to make sure that they were burnt. Isn't the devil cruel? Isn't the devil cruel? Lord help us. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flames and the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He forfeited, he sacrificed his very best men to make sure that his revenge was carried out. The devil doesn't care about any of us. He'd like to destroy us all. And he'll use sometimes people that you think should know better. People that you think they're smarter than this. People that should no way have any hand or part in this matter. Yet, the devil sometimes is able to take advantage. May the Lord help us. The Lord is able to deliver. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. Let's back up a little bit. Do you think that those three men made it all the way to the opening of that oven? Do you think those men threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in? Have you thought about that? They fell down. I don't know. But it came to me, I thought, you know, I don't know if those men were actually cast in. Maybe Shadrach, Meshach, we just thought, well, we got to go anyway. Look around, those men have been slain. They're laying there and just, well, we'll just go on in anyway. This is our lot. This is what God has called us to do and we'll do it and just walk right in. I don't know. When I was reading this, I guess I kind of started daydreaming a little bit and the Lord began to speak to me. And those are one of the things that maybe my mind just went off because I sometimes have a vivid imagination. But the
who rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the fourth, The form of the fourth is like the Son of God. How did this king know what the Son of God looked like? Had he ever seen him? Were there any pictures of the Son of God? Had any prophet in old times told him this is what the Son would look like? This king, in his rage and in his fury, God stayed his hand against his children and even had him go so far as to prophesy. As he looked in there, he said, and the fourth is in the form of the Son of God. How did he know that? But the Spirit moved on him for a moment that he would prophesy. Dear ones, we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Do you know, as I read this, I don't see anywhere where it said Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego seeing that other form. A lot of times we go through trials and tests and God wants to deliver us and we never see Him. But we see the evidence of what He's doing and how He's working. And in that we see Him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in there and they looked and their clothes weren't burnt. The fire was hot. They seen the men that were taken to throw them in, laying there slain from just the heat alone. And here they are in the very flames. And he answered, said, lo, I see four men loosed, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Dear ones, when the Lord puts us in the furnace of affliction, the furnace of mental, of physical, of emotional, of financial, do we jump out or do we stay there until the Lord brings us through? He can bring us through and no hurt come upon us. Sometimes I think we think more of these old bodies than the Lord does. They're just clay. They're just clay. And there's a day coming when they're going to wear out and God's going to take us home. And they're going to return back to clay. But because we have emotion and because we feel pain, we protect these bodies. And I believe we should try to take care of these bodies and do all we can to preserve them. But sometimes I think that we think just too much of them. Too much of these bodies. Not willing to go into the furnace of affliction and stay there until God can deliver us. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. Oh, how his speech has changed from the beginning. The Most High God. Come forth and come thither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth from the midst of the fire. And the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats charred, nor the smell of fire passed upon them. Think about that. Praise God. Do you know the very hairs of your head are all numbered? Not one hair on their head was singed. God has got every one of the hairs on your head. Children, God knows the amount of hairs you have on your head. Thank the Lord. Aren't you worth more than many sparrows? Not one falls to the ground, but God knows about it. And you're worth many more than those sparrows. Someone read for me Zacharias 2 and 8.
Thank you.
Do you believe this morning that you are the apple of God's eye? Thank the Lord. I'm the apple of His eye. He'll not let anything come to me, but that He also gives me a way of escape. But He opens that door when He's ready to open it. The furnace that I'm in, I must stay. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, stay until the answer come, until I'm delivered from the hand of the enemy. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom has sent His angel and delivered His servants that trusted in Him and have changed the king's word." Dear ones, in that day the king spoke and it was law and it could not be changed. But God changed it. Now what did Nebuchadnezzar think of himself? Where was his ego now? He said, "This is the Most High God." He said, "That fourth image is like the Son of God, who has sent His angel and delivered His servants that trusted in Him." Dear ones, have we made up our mind that we're going to trust God even if it means death? Change the king's word and yielded their bodies. Yielded their bodies. Their bodies were not precious to them. But their walk with God, their faith in God, that's where the gold lies, so to speak. Buy of me gold, tried in the fire. When I was a young man and I just started out in the millwright trade, I was a journeyman carpenter, and the company that I worked for found out that I had taken 4 years of welding and fabrication. And they couldn't, in this country that I live in, Northern California, they could get carpenters just by calling the hall, but they couldn't get millwrights. There was no millwright. So they either had to create one through an apprenticeship or they just had to hire one from someplace else. And they found out that I had taken welding fabrication. They said, "We want you to work with our millwrights. You mind doing that? It pays the same and you'll have a lot more work." I said, "Well, that sounds good. I'll learn something else." Once I started millwrighting, they never let me basically go back and be a carpenter again. They just kept me there welding and cutting and building equipment and machinery. And there was a machine that we were rebuilding, and it had these big bearings. And these bearings had Babbitt in them, nickel Babbitt. And I'd never worked with nickel Babbitt. They didn't have roller bearings like we're used to that you grease or oil. Because in the sawmill industry, a lot of what they do for lubrication is water. All those big saws, the double arbor edgers, the gang saws, the head rigs, all are sprayed on. They keep their blades cool by water injection. Got big water fans that blow on them and they keep them cool. So they have to use these special Babbitt bearings that water has no effect on. So they put me with an old journeyman and he was going to teach me how to pour these bearings. So I went out and I got this big pot. It looked like a witch's kettle, you know, big cast iron pots. And underneath it was a big propane burner like this. And we brought it in and we scraped all the dirt off the top of it and dust. It had been sitting out there for months. And we lit that old propane burner up and it began to heat. My partner says, "Well, let's put some rosebuds on it. We need to heat it up sooner." So we got these great big rosebuds and we started heating one side and I heating the other. And we started melting this old Babbitt. And then we started melting it. And I noticed as we were melting it, this foamy, nasty, dirty looking stuff began to rise to the top. Had black tint around the edges and it just looked awful. And it was coming right out of this Babbitt. So I asked him, I said, "What is this stuff?" He says, "That's dross." He said, "That's dross, and we've got to take that off." So he gave me a ladle. He said, "Now, while I'm heating, you just scrape that off real careful. Don't burn yourself. And throw that in this old gondola. It's got to go. It's a no matter." So the more we heated, the more this dross came to the surface. And I'd scrape it and I'd throw it away. And we'd heat and I'd scrape and I'd throw. Pretty soon I got down to where I'd got it all off. And I looked into this old pot, and it was the most beautiful silver. You ever seen mercury, the old thermometers with the silver mercury in it? That's what it looked like. It was just beautiful. Just shiny. I can't say that I saw my reflection in it because it was so hot and all over, but you've seen reflection of other things in it. That's how beautiful it was. I thought, oh boy, this is nice. Well, it was nickel. And it was a nickel color. So we poured these old bearings and they got hot and we got done with the job and I shut off that old burner and waited for it to cool so I could put it away. But while it was cooling, I began to look at it. And God began to speak to me. And He told me that the furnace that He wants to put us in, that He wants to apply that heat to, is to bring that dross that's in our lives. He wants to bring it to the surface so that He can, so that He and we can scrape it off and throw it in the trash gondola because it's of no value. That's what Companion was talking about last night, those ruts. Things that are there. Things that God wants to show us. Things that God wants to teach us. Things that don't belong in His people. We put that heat to that old Babbitt and it began to melt and that dross began to come up and we threw it away. When we got all done, it was just beautiful silver metal. Molten metal is what it was. God began to show me the saints and began to show me the lives of the saints. And how important it was for Him to apply the heat. And how important it was for us to stay in that pot. To stay in that furnace and let that dross come to the top. Dear ones, at any time we can jump out. Every day we make a decision, are we going to serve God today or not? Every day we have another decision. We're a free will being, are we not? God gave every man the power of choice. But He did not give man the power to alter the consequences of the choices that he makes. That's a quote from Brother Austis Wilson. I remember that from many years ago. That stuck with me. Because I'd made a lot of bad decisions in my life. And then I had to live and pay back those consequences. God applies the heat. And we're to stay there as it gets hotter and burns more and more depth and brings that dross and all that refuge that's not needed so He and I can scrape it and throw it in the gondola. Get it out of here. It's of no value. I got all done and I shut off that burner and I waited for it to cool off and I watched it cool. And as it cooled, it lost its beautiful color. It began to get kind of air pockets and bubbles and it just looked terrible. It went from beautiful to terrible in just a short while. The Lord spoke to me again and He said, this is what happens to my people when they cool off. At that point I really didn't understand it, but about 2 weeks later I did. They sent me out to get that pot again. We had more bearings to pour. I went out and I got it and I brought it in and we heated that old burner up and we got the rosebuds out and we're heating this old Babbitt up. And I thought, well, this isn't going to take any time at all. We already got rid of all the dross. It's gone. So all we have to do now is just heat it up and pour it. This is going to be a quick, easy job. I was wrong. As we begin to heat that up, that old nasty foamy dross began to come to the surface. And I got that ladle, I knew what to do, and I began to scrape it off. Dear ones, there was just as much dross that second time as there was the first time. And the Lord spoke to me again. He says, this is what happens when my people cool off. If I turn again to the things I once destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. The Lord said, I'd rather have you cold or hot, lukewarm, and I'll spew you out of my mouth. Why? Because if you're hot, you know where you're at. If you're cold, you know where you're at. But lukewarm, trying to ride the fence, where are you? K. count it all joy. Thank the Lord. When you fall into diverse type temptations, may the Lord help us. To stay in that burner, stay in that pot, stay in that furnace until God is able to remove all the dross out of your life. He wants to make you a saint. He wants to make you an example of the believers. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they may not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every person, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their house shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Isn't that something? I'm thankful that this is the God that you and I can know on a personal level. This is the God that you and I can serve day after day, moment after moment. On the way here, my wife said to me, she says, this salvation life is so easy. I said, easy? Yeah, it's so easy. And I said, you know it is. It is easy. But there's a few years back that I couldn't say that. And you know why? Because I was kicking against the pricks. Oh, Brother Husky, my first pastor taught us what a prick was. He said when they used to drive those old teams and those old horses or those oxen were hitched up and they started acting up and started kicking, they had a sharp stick right to a point and they just shove it back there and they kick right against it and it hurt them. It didn't take those old horses, those oxen long to learn. They better not be kicking anymore. Because it hurt. What did he tell Paul on the way to Damascus? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Fighting against God. Lord wants to put us in a furnace to bring out the dross and put in good things in its place, and we're going to fight Him on it. Kicking against the pricks. My wife said, this old salvation is sweet, it's good, and it's easy. And I can say, yes, it is now. It is now. It is today. But a few years back, it wasn't. Why? Because I hadn't come to the place where I'd given up all the world. I kept holding on, and I kept fighting. I was kicking against the pricks and they hurt. But not anymore. This old way is easy. Does it mean we don't have trials, tests, going to the furnace? Oh, the Lord's not done with me yet. He continues to show me things in my life. I've seen ministers that I had utmost confidence in. I've seen them preach a message just good and Holy Ghost filled, and I've seen people fill the altar, and I see that minister walk right down there and get right at the altar. You know, dear ones, when we come up here, we never know what the Lord's going to give us. I got these scriptures written down, and I've tried to organize these things 3 or 4 times, and I've never been able to do it. The Lord gave it to me like that, and that's why I'm going to have to leave it, and I just skip around. Whatever the Lord brings in my mind, I give it to you. You know something? That's exciting. When I come up here, I say, well, let's see what the Lord has for us, because I really don't know. I got a little title and a topic to start with, and that's as far as I know. I never know which way He's going to take it or where it's going to go. Now, I've only preached this thing one other time. I preached it a month or so ago back because the Lord gave it to me and said it's for Oklahoma, but He inspired me one morning to preach it in Racine, so I did. It's not even the same message. You know what I mean? It's not even the same as some of the scriptures are the same, but the thoughts are different. Because I have a different group of people here. This is a different congregation with different needs, with different burns, with different trials, in different furnaces. May the Lord help us to settle it in our heart and in our mind that we're going to serve God even if it means these old bodies have to be forfeited. And let's see what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. As high as they were before, he even made them higher. God wants to bring us out into a good place. If we'll stay into that first until He calls us out, till He delivers us, we'll come out in a better place than we'd ever been before. That's what this is all about. A thought came to me recently. How do I answer, man? When I first started looking for God, God was dealing with me. I was 14 years old. And I'd been raised in a Pentecostal movement, and I knew that wasn't right. I seen things going on in there with the pastor and the pastor's wife and men and women. It was just ungodly and unseemly. I knew that there was a spirit that controlled that movement that had no place for me. It was unclean. And I'm not afraid to say it. That tongue spirit, may the Lord help us. That's an unclean spirit. And I began to go to people. I made an appointment to see the Catholic priest there. I walked in and sat down, and he pulled out a cigarette and lit it up. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm having a cigarette." I said, "That's sin." "Oh, no." I said, "Oh, yes. That's enough." I left. I'd seen enough. My father smoked and it killed him at 55 years old. I hate cigarettes. Absolutely, they robbed me of my father. Tell me it's not sin. Know ye not that this temple this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? He that defileth the temple, God will destroy. Don't tell me you can smoke a cigarette and tell me it's not sin. I know that it is because it's a defiler. Just read the side of the pack. So then I began to talk to Baptists and I talked to Methodists and I talked to everybody that had a claim. I said, "What has your God done for you?" "Well, I heard." I said, "I don't want to hear what you've heard. I want to know what He's done for you. Because if He'll do it for you, He can do it for me." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a God that they proved that He existed. They proved that He was alive. They proved that He was well. And no one that was there could ever deny it. Do you want to serve a God like that? Are you willing to have Him put you in the furnace? Are you willing to stay there till He removes everything that's ungodly, everything that's unholy, and brings you out and promotes you in the kingdom of God? A better place than when you went in. You just got to be willing to stay until you're perfected, then He'll pull you out. Thank the Lord. Oh, I appreciate God today. Appreciate all He's done. Appreciate I can be the apple of His eye. Though I know I don't deserve it. I appreciate all that God has done. Hopefully these few thoughts have encouraged you, because that is my intent and my aim. To never to discourage, but to encourage. And to help you along in any way I can. That's what the Lord's called me to do. May you pray for me that the Lord will continue to bless me. And I'll stay broken, contrite, and humble at His feet.